So we're going to read from Madhya Lila, chapter 2, text 64, 65, and 66. And 66 is on the board. Yes. So I'll read 64. Translation. The body of the Lord was just like a field of sugar cane into which the mad elephants of ecstasy entered. There was a fight amongst the elephants, and in the process, the entire field of sugarcane was destroyed. Thus, transcendental madness was awakened in the body of the Lord, and he experienced despondency in mind and body. In this ecstatic condition, he began to speak as follows. So, the example of elephants fighting are different ecstatic emotions. And there are all these different, apparently, incongruencies in these emotions, and they cause madness. You don't have to worry about that right now, but if it does come, if you do become crazy in ecstasy, then you'll understand you're okay. Craziness is actually the goal. Excuse me, what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? It's to become crazy in love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Text 65. So this is the verse that Lord Chaitanya, in this ecstatic state, started singing. Who knows that verse? Anybody? This is the verse you're going to be chanting when you experience ecstasy. Spontaneously, you'll sing this verse. This is from Krishna Karnamrita. O my Lord, O dearest one, O only friend of the universe, O Krishna, O restless one, O only ocean of mercy, O my Lord, O my enjoyer, O beloved to my eyes, alas, when you will again be visible to me. So this is separation. Now, I was told to end class at 8:30. So this verse is describing the ecstatic symptoms that Lord Chaitanya experienced. And you have ecstatic symptoms on the stage of Baba, and you have ecstatic symptoms on the stage of Prema, which are more intensified and more varied. And I have to make a disclaimer, and I'll make it with a story. You may not understand anything, but it's okay. Because if you don't understand anything, at least you understand that you don't understand. And that this subject matter requires more advancement in Krishna consciousness to understand. So there is some benefit in not understanding. It sometimes makes you feel like, whoa, I'm such a loser. I can't even understand this after so many years as a devotee. That means I have to purify myself more. What to speak of experience this? So here's the story. When the Nectar Devotion first came out, I believe it was sometime in the summer or fall of 1970, and then Prabhupada told us to read it. So, you know, the first part we'd read, and that was clear. Then, when you get a little further into Nectar Devotion, for us, even today, some parts of Nectar Devotion are difficult to understand, but you could imagine in 1970 it was really difficult. We didn't understand it. So one devotee wrote Prabhupada and just suggested, maybe we don't read that now because we don't understand it. And he said, just read it, even if you don't understand it, and then read it again if you don't understand it, and read it again if you don't understand it, and read it again, and someday something will trickle down, something, some understanding. Right? That's just how it works. So part of the process of understanding is to read it when you don't understand. So today we're going to learn about the symptoms of ecstatic love, and you can read more about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, and in books by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he goes into it, in Jiva Dharma or Chaitanya Shiksha. And you can study it deeply, you can discuss it deeply, and you still may understand very little. And what's so interesting about this morning I was reading a verse about this, and it described different symptoms of ecstatic love, and the purport was one line. There is no English translation for these words. So I was thinking, how beautiful is that? Because that means we have no experience of ecstatic love, therefore there's no words necessary. Right? We don't have words for things we don't think exist, isn't it? So the fact that in the Sanskrit language there are words for phenomena that we don't have in English means we don't know anything about it. We don't know this level of love of Godhead exists. Therefore, there's no words to describe it. Isn't that interesting? That's a very interesting point for preaching also on the elevated nature of the Vedas, that they have words to describe spiritual experiences that are not in English, because in Western religion those experiences do not exist. So, that's my disclaimer. If you don't understand, if you understand very little, it's okay. The symptoms of madness served as an impetus for remembering Krishna. The mood of ecstasy awoke love, disdain, defamation by words, pride, honor, and indirect prayer. Thus, Sri Krishna was sometimes blasphemed and sometimes honored. So this is why it's called unmadha, madness, because you do things which appear to be completely inconsistent and basically mad. And it's a symptom of love of God. And when Mahaprabhu was speaking to Prakrasananda Saraswati, one of their accusations was, you're a sannyasi and you're in the street dancing. To them it was like kind of like disco, or sannyasi going to disco or going to the pub or like that. He said, you can't do this. It's not right for sannyasi. Sannyasi should be studying. That was the Mayavad idea of sannyas. And Mahaprabhu said, I can't help it. He said, when I chant this mantra, it makes me dance. I don't want to dance, it just makes me dance. So in the same way, when I chant this mantra, it makes me crazy. I don't want to be crazy, it just makes me crazy. So Mahaprabhu went to his Guru Maharaj and said, you gave me this mantra, but I don't know if I should continue chanting because the mantra is making me crazy. And his Guru says, well, what are the symptoms? And he lists all the symptoms, and his Guru says, congratulations. We've actually only read about this in books, these ecstatic symptoms, but now we're actually seeing it. So his Guru was astonished. These are things you can read about, but here we're seeing in your body ecstatic symptoms. They said, no, this craziness is the perfection. You've achieved prema, love of Krishna. And even in the material world, sometimes a woman will tell her husband or boyfriend, I hate you. Right? She doesn't mean she hates him. She means she hates something. I don't know what you mean, actually, but I'll try to explain it. You actually mean I love you, or you mean I hate what you're doing, but I love you, and stop doing that. Or I don't know. But anyway, sometimes there's contradictory statements. So here, I don't, maybe that's a reflection of this. Krishna was sometimes blasphemed and sometimes honored in the madness. And, sometimes Radharani would scold Krishna, you're a debauchee, you don't care, like gopis, you're this, you're that. So these are symptoms of extreme love. And the thing we have to understand is that within the internal energy where all these leelas take place, only love exists. There can't be anything but love. So when you read this, our mind thinks, how could that happen? Because in this world, if you love somebody, you don't blaspheme them unless you're actually crazy. But the point is that in the spiritual realm, only love exists. So if there's something that appears not to be love, it's actually just a variation of love, because there can only be love, and love is not stagnant, and it manifests in different ways, and all these ways that it manifests make it sweeter. So if Krishna is upset with Radharani, it makes it sweeter. And Krishna has to come and apologize, and then they make up, and then the love increases. And you know, that's the nature of the spiritual world, that everything that is going on is increasing love. It's always expanding. Happiness is always expanding. And Prabhupada said, Krishna cannot calculate how happy he is, because once he makes the calculation, the happiness increases. So then he makes the new calculation, and then it increases. So he actually can't calculate, because it doesn't stop. So the love is expanding, and these ecstatic symptoms are both impetuses and symptoms. And it said sometimes in the Leela, Krishna will touch Radha, Radha will touch Krishna, and then ecstatic symptoms will develop when they touch their bodies. Now, that's interesting, because ecstatic symptoms are manifestations of intense love. And what happens when a young boy and a girl touch one another? Lust awakens. So we say in the Leelas of Krishna, there's no lust. So here's an example, right? You touch, and there's ecstatic symptoms. And you can't have ecstasy if you have lust, right? It's impossible. It begins in the stage of bhava, where you're, you know, like completely free or almost completely free of every contamination. And we're talking about prema, where it's entirely free. So they touch, and there's ecstatic symptoms. Because there's no lust, there's ecstasy. People say, no, it looks like lust. No, we say, because there is no lust, there's ecstasy. There couldn't be ecstasy if there was lust. And where there's lust, there's no ecstasy. Right? So the price you pay for ecstasy is to give up lust. When you give up lust, you get ecstasy, and then it increases. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll read the purport. Is that okay? Yeah. So this is supposed to be an impetus for us to transcend our lust, purify our lust, so that we can enter into the to love of Krishna through the various processes. And this is bhava, and this is prema we're talking about. The word unmada is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as extreme joy, misfortune, and bewilderment in the heart due to separation. Symptoms of unmada are laughing like a madman, dancing, singing, performing ineffectual activities, talking nonsense, running, shouting, and sometimes working in contradictory ways. Unmada means, sometimes translated as madness. The word pranaya is explained thus. When there is a possibility of receiving direct honor, but it is avoided, that love is called pranaya. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Ujjvala Nilamani, explains the word mana thus. When the lover feels novel sweetness by exchanging hearty loving words, but wishes to hide his feelings by crooked means, mana is experienced. Hare Krishna. I was listening to a lecture this morning, and Prabhupada was talking about Krishna and the gopis and the loving exchanges, and how it appears that Krishna's lusty. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is doing what he's doing only to please the gopis. Because there's no lust. If there's no lust, then why are you doing it? It's to please the beloved. And we can't understand that if we still have lust in our hearts. Yes? Hare Krishna. So I found some other references that I thought we could read to help us understand. So if you give me a moment. Yes, this is a nice one. 11:240. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, famous verse. Anyone know this verse offhand? Yes. Evam vrata sva priyanama Kirtya, it begins that way. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. The first part of the verse says, then the devotee, by chanting the holy name, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. That's encouraging, right? Keep chanting. You'll get there. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant, which means he understands his relationship with Krishna. And so at that point, nothing can deter a devotee because, it's like, do you have faith? Yeah, well, I actually know my relationship with Krishna. Where's the question of faith? It's experience. Nothing can change. Do you really believe this is true? You're seeing Krishna. You're in relationship. Of course, you really believe it's true. It's beyond believing. You're experiencing it. Like one man asked Prabhupada, can you see God? Yes, at every moment I am seeing God. Right? People would see Prabhupada and they think, well, you have a lot of faith. Do you ever doubt? Why I would doubt? You're seeing God, why would you doubt? You know how bold Prabhupada was? Because he was seeing the reality of what he was preaching. But the last part, as his heart melts with ecstatic love, so this is described elsewhere, when the heart melts, that means melts in prema, it's soft, that's when ecstatic symptoms develop. And what's the other example from the second canto? Heart is like stone. Well, steel. Steel and stone are examples. And butter and gold are the examples of melted hearts because gold melts much quicker than steel. Does steel melt? It must melt, right? But it's difficult to melt. And butter, of course, melts very quickly. So the heart of a pure devotee, one who has love, is sometimes compared with butter or gold, and then conditioned living entity or devotees in this practice of sadhana, their hearts are compared to steel. Even after chanting, it's still not melting. So our goal is to allow the holy name to melt our heart. That's what we want. Melt our heart in love. You know, two nights ago, we were doing kirtan and in Soho, and I was telling some pastimes, and we could meditate on doing the kirtan, and I was telling devotees, chant like you love the person you're chanting to. You know, sometimes we're chanting, Hare Krishna. We look indifferent. And I said, at least fake it. This is the person you're supposed to love. So at least fake it like, you want to love him and, this is the object of where your love should be reposed. At least chant like you mean it, like you want it. So we want, and then when we chant, we can pray, Krishna, please take your holy name. This is actually a prayer a devotee wrote at one Japa retreat. I pray that your holy name can crack, the nails of your holy name can be like chisels to crack my stone-like heart with the Maha Mantra. So that's a nice meditation that we're chanting. But why are we chanting? I don't know. They told me to chant or they don't give me prasadam. No. That's what you have to do to stay in the temple. You have to chant. No. And it's too cold to move outside the temple, so I chant. Yeah. So we're chanting so someday our heart will melt. Right? And someday Krishna will give us a little something. And we can pray for that. We're not qualified, but if we pray for it and we say, Krishna, please make me qualified so someday I can experience this. And maybe Krishna will give us a little experience before we're actually on the stage of Bhava. We get a little experience. Because the different stages, adoshada, tata, sadhusanga, all the stages you go through from faith and association and bhajan, initiation and anartha nirvritti, all that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it's different degrees of bhava. It's just the maturation of bhava. So shraddha is a little bhava. And sadhusanga is a little more bhava. And then bhajana kriya is a little more bhava. So your bhava is developing. So sometimes on the way, Krishna may give you a little glimpse of coming attractions just to, you know, just so you know it's there. But really that's the mood of the devotee. Krishna, melt my heart. And then a devotee may pray that I want to experience ecstasy, but if not that he wants to experience ecstasy for the sake of being ecstatic. He wants to experience ecstasy because ecstasy is the preliminary symptom or stage of love. So don't get confused. Well, I shouldn't pray for a taste or feeling. No, but those things are symptoms of higher stages. So I'm just praying, Krishna, let me come to that stage where I can experience it. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will I run on the banks of the Ganges like a madman shouting, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari. You know, and he's saying, when will all these ecstatic symptoms develop within me? So that all he's really saying, I mean, if you analyze it in a particular way, he's saying, when will I come to the stage of bhava? Because these are the symptoms on bhava. So, you know, when you say, when will I be ecstatic and cry, and it sounds like, oh, Prabhu, we need to talk, you know, like this is not good that you're praying like this, that this is not good for you. But if you said, when will I come to the stage of bhava, I want, you know, everyone would think, okay, you know, be patient, but, you know, that is natural that I want to come. When, oh, when will I have love of Krishna? No one's going to think there's anything wrong with you. But when you describe those symptoms, whoa, okay, wait a minute. Calm down, Prabhu, you know. You're not qualified for that. But we're praying to be qualified. When, oh, when will that day come? When I'm qualified to run on the bank of the Ganga. And when I say Gauranga, I feel ecstasy. That should be there, shouldn't it? Otherwise, what are we hankering for? Plate of Mahaprasadam? When, oh, when will that day come? When? Fill in the blanks. What do you want to fill in? When all the devotees praise me? Is that what you want? When I'm the top dog? No. When, oh, when will that day come? When these higher stages of Krishna, when I can understand your leelas. You know that prayer, Naratam Dastam, Vishaya. What's that? That song about Vrindavan, when I will understand the, when I will give up sense gratification, then I'll understand the leelas of Vrindavan. How does that song start? Yeah, Gorang, Goranga Bolite Habe. Ulaka sharira, when will I hair stand on him? When I chant Hari Hari Bipale Nayana Bhave, when will I cry? Akabenitai chan koruno kuribe samsarvashanamo. Yeah, then the next line, when I give up sense gratification, when will I give up sense gratification? I understand the Radha Krishna Leelas. So that's what we should hanker for, right? When will that day come? Not that I'm afraid of that, you know, then I'll give up everything, and then what will I do? I'll be so renounced. No, we pray. That renunciation is only going to come if there's ecstasy, so don't worry, devotees are, I don't know if I can be that renounced. Yeah, well, if you're ecstatic, you can be. Don't ever worry about being renounced, because it's only a product of your advancement. So you can't be more renounced than you naturally are. That's just artificial. It won't last. But if you become very renounced as a result of becoming ecstatic, it's natural. Right? One time, Prabhupada said, if you do kirtan and you dance, it increases the ecstasy. In other words, ecstasy is good. Ecstasy is wanted. Did you get your dose of ecstasy this morning? Did you get enough of it? Because if you didn't, you'll be malnourished in Krishna consciousness. You need, you know, it's like protein. You need a sufficient amount of ecstasy. Did you get enough? So Prabhupada said, the mridanga players should play in a way that it makes the devotees dance. Like some mridanga players are so good that when they play, you can't sit down. Or if you sit down, you'll be shaking. But you can't, you feel this energy. So Prabhupada said, they should make the devotees want to dance because the dancing increases the ecstasy. So ecstasy is good. And whenever Prabhupada saw us dancing, he was very, very happy. And sometimes if we weren't jumping, he would encourage us to jump. And when we jumped, big smile on his face. It was very, so ecstasy it's actually required, and required an ingredient in your Krishna conscious diet. Now you might say, Prabhu, what I'm experiencing actually ecstasy? Well, here's the answer. Yes and no. The yes part is, yeah, in that moment you were feeling ecstasy. The no part is, at the next moment you're not. So because until we're on the stage of bhava, it's going to come and go. When the kirtan is ecstatic, we're feeling some ecstasy, not like Mahaprabhu, but something. But when you're on the stage of bhava, you always feel it. Kirtan, no kirtan. It's a permanent position. So yes, we do feel ecstasy, but it's not permanent. It comes with the kirtan, or Prabhu, that was an ecstatic class. Oh, were your hair standing on end? Was it that ecstatic? Well, sometimes it's like that. It can be like that. If the speaker is speaking about amazing leelas and a great storyteller, you feel something, right? Or that prasadam was ecstatic. The kirtan was ecstatic. That whatever, book distribution was ecstatic, right? But we come down because we're not on the stage of bhava. But we were experiencing something, maybe not full-blown ecstasy, but something. Yes? And that's why Prabhupada said even a dog can chant and dance in ecstasy. So let's read a little bit of the purport. In this verse, pure love of God is being described. Srila Sridhar Swami has described this spiritual situation as sampapta prema lakshana bhakti yogasya samshara dharmatitam gutim, or the perfectional stage of life in which one's devotional service to the Supreme Lord is enriched by ecstatic love. At that time, one's spiritual duties are entirely beyond the scope of worldly affairs. In other words, this is the goal, that when you achieve ecstatic love, you're there. And this is why we're in Krishna consciousness. So, at least once, maybe more than once, I heard Prabhupada say, the goal of Krishna consciousness is to come to the point where you can dance with Krishna. And see Krishna. And if you take to this process, you will come to that position. So that's another, when the newscaster comes up, what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? To dance with God. And then become mad in love. Of course, the PR department would not recommend that. But for us, and that's our internal mission statement. The goal is to see Krishna, dance with Krishna, and become mad in love. That's our internal mission as devotees, personal mission. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 78, there is the following statement. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. This is Lord Chaitanya, as we were saying, when he was given the holy name, this is what happened. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately approached his spiritual master to ask him why he had apparently become mad by chanting the holy name of Krishna. His guru replied, it is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Well, I guess I haven't chanted yet. Let's keep chanting so that we can actually chant. I mean, there's so much to say about this, and you can read more in Chaitanya Charitamrita if you want about bhava and what it is and the causes of bhava. It's a bit complicated, actually, but it's there. And the fact that it's there and it's complicated is good, because it makes you realize that this is a great science and we've got a long way to go. So it's 8:23. So I thought maybe I should stop, in the interest of stopping at 8:30, if you have questions or comments.